There's a lot of biohacks, but I'll tell you this, if you don't get your deep sleep, none of that is gonna make any impact. Sleep is the Swiss Army knife for health. Health is so important. It's the most important. It's more important than your diet and exercise program combined. What's up, guys? Welcome to Sauna Session. So today's episode, we're going to do something very special. It's me and my producer, Dustin. He'll be asking some very poignant questions. And today we're talking about one of the most important things if you want to change your life, and that is habits and routines. So I think a person can make as many actions as they want to change their life. But until you actually ingrain that action into a habit, you really won't make much progress. So today we're talking about morning routines. We're talking about night routines. We're talking about how to architect the environment in your home or your office for success. And we might have some other random magic questions from Dustin. So I'm looking forward to it. So let's jump in. Dustin, you ready?
Let's start with... you know, the most important thing that happens to everybody, we wake up and like, what is, you mentioned morning routines. What's a good morning routine that you think everyone should be doing?
You know, it's interesting because my friend Sean Stevenson, he told me something that was absolutely incredible and also very poetic. I love the wordplay, but he says your morning routine starts before you go to sleep.
Mm.
Because obviously when you can go to sleep, and sleep for the, you know, the deep sleep, get into REM sleep for the 8, 9, sometimes 7 hours, that will prep you for a good morning. Now, I can say this wholeheartedly. There are so many biohacks, so many devices, red light therapy, sauna. We love the sauna, ice bath, electrostimulation, cryotherapy. There's a lot of biohacks, but I'll tell you this, if you don't get your deep sleep, none of that is going to make any impact. Sleep is the Swiss Army knife for health. Health is so important. It's the most important. It's more important than your diet and exercise program combined. So I say all that to say that before you get into the morning routine, let's talk about the night routine. You know, my friend Brendan Bruchard, he's got this 3-2-1 method that I love. And he says, eat 3 hours or more before you go to sleep, right? You don't want to be eating 1 hour before you lay, you know, go to sleep, or 30 minutes, because then your body's going to be digesting instead of resting. So 3 hours, at least 3 hours before you sleep, and 2 hours, you shouldn't drink anything 2 hours before you go to sleep. And 1 hour, he says, no screens, no screen time. Mm. So that goes for, movie screen, iPhone screen, iPad screen, no screens 1 hour before you go to sleep. And I love this. I think his 3-2-1 method is powerful. It's something that I've taken with success in my life, and it's so easy and clever the way that it's structured. So that's one thing prior to going to sleep. Now, in your room, you've got to have blackout curtains. I mean, this is so important, because if light comes into your room, even while you're sleeping, so you have photoreceptors on your skin. And if the light penetrates your skin, it can cause sleep disturbance. So you want to make sure every light is blacked out. I say get black tape. So sometimes electronical equipment, like say, for instance, if you got a, I don't suggest you have a TV in your room, but some people do. I used to. But sometimes there's a light, a blue light on your TV that might stay on even though the TV's not on. So you want to cover that. If you've got an air purifier like I have in my room, you want to cover the blue light on that. You might have a humidifier in your room. All of these things, the purifier, humidifier, are also great to have in your room to get the best sleep possible. You also want something like a snake plant in your room that can clean the air, that can oxygenate the air so that you can breathe deeper. These also, they capture pollutants that are in the air as well. So you double your air purifier with the HEPA filter with your snake plants, and you're in heaven. I mean, you're gonna sleep great. You're gonna have the best dreams possible, and you're gonna wake up refreshed. Okay, so to help me go to sleep, I take a few supplements. I don't do this all the time because I don't want to be reliant on anything or any supplement, but sometimes I take magnesium threonate. So there's many forms of magnesium. Magnesium threonate is a great one for sleep quality. I know Tim Ferriss, I learned this from him, some apple cider vinegar, water, and honey. Warm water and honey. This is like a nice sleep potion. Glycine is a supplement that you can take that can also give you good sleep. Now, I must be candid when it comes to glycine. It's interesting. It actually, and I haven't read this. I don't know if I'm just a weirdo and I'm the only one that experiences this, but I actually get nightmares when I take glycine. I also get nightmares from eating, like, and I only eat meat like maybe once a year, very random, only like if I'm at somebody's house and they offer it to me. I don't want to be rude, but if I eat meat, some type of meat, close to bedtime, I have nightmares. Now, this is actually something that actually happens to people. Meat, dairy can actually create sleep disturbance and nightmares. So if you find yourself having nightmares, probably cut back on the meat, because meat takes a longer time to digest fully. While your body is digesting and you're trying to go to sleep, this is an extra stress, and that stress can cause a carryover of what I think can cause nightmares.
Now, is that all meat?
For me, I haven't found that. I guess people consider fish a meat. Some people don't. It's just called fish, fish. Now, I do eat wild caught fish, and I don't have that issue. Maybe either my body is adapted to it. But I just know beef, you know, something that's like, it's tough for your body to digest, which meat is tough. It takes a long time. It takes hours, several hours. I think some people even say days for some like red meat to fully digest and go through your system. You need to be resting instead of digesting. And for me, meat can cause nightmares. So my sleep potion is, you know, apple cider vinegar, warm water. You might even throw some chamomile tea in there. That can knock you out. Sometimes I have two kiwis. There's a bunch of studies on how kiwis can also cut down sleep disturbance. People who eat kiwis get colds less frequently. I love kiwis. I love the Australian kiwi, the golden kiwi, also the green kiwi. They actually higher in vitamin C than an orange. I eat maybe one or two at 3 hours before bedtime. And I might eat some pistachios as well 3 hours before bedtime. Now, pistachio, I don't take melatonin. Dr. Michael Greger of Nutrition Facts, he's got a whole thing on melatonin supplements. Melatonin supplements are not well regulated. Sometimes you get the melatonin supplement, what you think is a melatonin supplement, and it's something else. It's something else inside of it that when they've independently lab tested it, or it has way higher melatonin than they say is on there, or less. So they're not greatly regulated. Instead, I do pistachios, like a handful of pistachio nuts. A handful of pistachio nuts is equivalent to taking a melatonin supplement. It has the highest amount of melatonin in any other food. So I do that. And, you know, I know it sounds complicated, but for me, it's become a routine. And the whole routine takes literally like 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, if that. And if you set it up during the day, it's easy. It's just, and it just becomes a habit. We've got creating the room, creating the environment. One thing I didn't mention was also the temperature. So you want the temperature to be relatively cold as well. A lot of studies suggest people have a better quality sleep when the temperature is cold. You can either change the temperature on your thermostat, or you can get a cooling blanket or one of those cooling mattresses that allow you to actually change the temperature of the actual mattress that you sleep on, which is also very cool. I've tried them all. I've tried everything. I've tried the bed jet with the fan underneath the cover. I've tried everything. For me personally, I just use the thermostat in the room. So we talked about the environment. We talked about the supplements. And the last thing I want to say, if you want to have a great morning, is you got to end the day with gratitude. You got to end the day with gratitude. You don't want to dwell on what went wrong during your day. You want to dwell on what went right. It's funny enough, I'm launching a gratitude journal, the 3X Happier Journal, which will be out in the next few months. I think it's the best journal, best gratitude journal in the world, because I've studied every other gratitude journal and I made it the best one. But even if you don't get the journal, if you love another journal, use it. Or if you just get a piece of paper or pad and just write down 3 things that you're grateful for. I mean, that works too. But you really want to write these things down, and you want to emote. You want to feel them. Like, you don't just want to write them down robotically and mechanically. You want to actually feel the gratitude for whatever happened during the day. Three small things, just three, you know, I call it the three blessings. What are the three things that you're grateful for that happened during that day? And then, you know, you drift into sleep. You might listen to an affirmation, or you might listen to some soothing music. Or what I like to do is I like to listen to, I have a sound machine that actually plays thunderstorm noises. I don't use my laptop. I don't use my phone, because it's a sound machine on Amazon that plays good quality thunderstorm sounds. It also plays like 100 other sounds, like rainforest, like a metronome, a fan, a lot of different sounds. The sound machine, I travel with it. I travel with my sound machine everywhere I go, because it just almost guarantees me great sleep. So that's how you go to sleep and you wake up in a happy, healthy, confident, excited, enthusiastic state.
So I want to ask a couple questions kind of based on what you're going over. Now, you mentioned the thermostat was best for you, obviously. Since you said you've tried everything, for someone like me, where like I live in a really old building, I don't have the luxury of being able to adjust temperature, or, you know, maybe some people have roommates who are, you know, or where they're trying to save money. What would you say was the second best to help you stay cool at night?
I like the BedJet. The BedJet, you can get those on Amazon. They're less expensive than like an Uller or a chili pad. What these are, they're devices that you can actually attach to your bed. And so they don't obviously cool the room. They just cool your body. Okay. There's one new one that came out. I forget the name of it. I think it might be a chili pad, the new chili pad. No, it's Eight Sleep. Pod Pro. They measure other things as well, like your sleep quality, your sleep disturbance levels, your heart rate variability. Like, it's incredible the amount of data that this makes. It's kind of like wearing, you know, one of those Aura rings that people wear. It's kind of like wearing that, only it being on your mattress. So that cools you through water. So it's a air conditioner. It cools the water. And the water goes through these tubes on the mattress. You don't really feel the tubes in the bed. I can kind of feel them sometimes, which is why I don't use them. Maybe I'm doing it wrong. But I would say, if you are in an older building, you can't adjust the temperature, I would say try the BedJet. Get it. If you don't like it, return it. Amazon's got a great policy with that. Or try the Uller. Man, it's really great. And the cool thing about these mattresses is that if you've got a partner and say they like to sleep when it's hot, you can actually adjust the temperature for both sides. You can make one side cool and one side warm. You want to wake up warm, go to sleep cold, wake up warm. You can set the timer for it. So there's a lot of cool technology out there that can really help sleep quality. And I think it's worth investing in it, because I really don't see a bigger domino that can help every area of your life than sleep.
Now, you mentioned that you have a sleep machine, which personally I need something going. I can't have complete silence, a fan or something at least. Have you looked a lot into how there's different frequencies that people say will help you sleep deeper or things like that, and they'll make music based on those frequencies?
There's some evidence for those. I haven't really heard of them being used for that. I've heard them being used more so to get into behind affirmations or meditations, to bring yourself into like a Fibonacci or something like these codes, these sequences of Hertz. I think it's, there's a few different ones, right? I don't know too much about them. I think there's some evidence for them, but I wouldn't rely on that. I think these are kind of like just icing on the cake. You know, they're great to add on, but the cake is still good without it. But the placebo effect also is very real too, right? So even if the science says, okay, these don't work, if they work for you, I think you should try it and keep trying it if they already are working.
Cool. So I guess let's dive into like, what does it look like, Prince, when you wake up?
All right, boom, start the day. Yeah, you're drinking a glass of water. We're going to get to the water, because that's super important, because when you sleep for 8 hours, you haven't drank any water, so your body is essentially in a state of dehydration. So you need your water, but we'll get to that. So first thing I do when I wake up is I smile. I have a history of, I feel, maybe it's genetic, but I feel like my brain leans to the negative. I know that it's a liar. I know that it's not true. So I stay in the witness consciousness of it. Mm-hmm. But I also have these things that I can do to get in front of it. The first thing I do when I wake up is I smile. The facial muscles have the biggest impact on the mood state than anything else. So I smile. I have a big smile on my face. Even when I wake up, if you, I don't know if you'll ever get in my bed, Dustin, but if you wake up, when you wake up in my bed and you look to the ceiling, I've got a sign. I've got a sign that says smile for 1 minute. This is the first thing I see. So I see this and I smile. And once this smile comes on my face, it tricks my brain that I'm happy. It tells me that I'm happy, right? So I feel happy. I feel excited when I smile. The next thing I do is, so I have electric blinds. So I press a button and the sun, I do not touch my phone. I do not turn the light on. I just try to have that natural sunlight in my room first. No artificial light. And then I just grab my gratitude journal and I write down more things that I'm grateful for, things that I might be looking forward to, things that will make me excited about the day, things that will make me feel like my day is accomplished. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention that can also be a great anti-stressor before you go to sleep is actually writing your to-do list prior to sleep. Because a lot of times the reason why we don't get good sleep is because we toss and turn. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? I need to do this, do that. But when you write it down, you don't have to think about it anymore. I look at my to-do list after my gratitude journal. The first thing I do is I go outside and I try to get that morning sun. I try to get that morning sun on my eyes. I try to walk. Like here in Portugal, I've got a nice garden. So I try to walk barefoot, feel the energy of the earth, a process known as grounding or earthing. So there's hundreds of peer-reviewed journals on the benefits of this. It's not just hippie woo-woo stuff. Walking outside barefoot really does charge you up. So I walk maybe 10, 20 minutes. I try to set the bar low. I try not to, sometimes I do 40 minutes, but I try to set the bar low and I say, okay, just a 10 minute walk in the morning, boom. And that really sets me off right. So many studies on the benefits of walking. It's like a natural antidepressant. Actually, it beats a lot of the antidepressant drugs and medications out there simply by walking, a 20 minute walk, a 40 minute walk. Walking is really, it's the king of all exercise. And for mental health, it's a great friend to have. I walk, I get outside, that sunlight, obviously the vitamin D hits my skin. So I do that. And then I come back inside. Oh, and while I'm walking, see what I try to do is I try to stack a lot of my practices on top of each other. So when I'm walking, I go for what's called a thank you walk. And this is something that I invented. I'm like this, right? I'm have my hands, you know, in the prayer posture, and I'm trying to say thank you to as many things as I can. So I say thank you to the earth, thank you to the grass, thank you to the trees, thank you to the butterflies, thank you to maybe somebody's walking by. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you is a spell. It's a magic spell, and it can bring you into a positive mood. It's powerful, powerful words. There's a quote. This is Rhonda Byrne. She says, there are two words that when spoken have the most unfathomable power to completely change your life. Two words which when they pass your lips will be the cause of bringing absolute joy and happiness to you. Two words that will create miracles in your life. Two words that will wipe out negativity. Two words that will bring you abundance in all things. Two words which when uttered and sincerely felt will summon all of the forces and vibrations in the universe to move all things for you. The only thing standing between you, happiness, and the life of your dreams is two words. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you is a superpower. It is something that when I go for this thank you walk, I try to say thank you as many times as I even had a game that I created where I would count the amounts of time that I said thank you. I would have a clicker in my hand. Mm. And every time I would say thank you, I would click this clicker and say one day I got 30 clicks on the thank you. The next day, I'm trying to beat that score. I'm trying to get 31. How many more things can I find myself to be grateful for? And the more I do this, the more things I see to be grateful for. So it's gratitude in the morning is you got to do it, period. I have searched. I have read of the most happiest people, the most successful people. And one of the most common practices is gratitude. You got to invest in gratitude. You got to spend the time. And when you win the morning, you conquer the day. So I go for my thank you walk. After the thank you walk, I come inside and boom, that's when I drink a big glass of water, right? But not just any water, Dustin, not just any water. No. I put lemon in the water. I put a little salt in the water. With this water, I also take my vitamin D. I take my vitamin K2. A lot of people don't know about vitamin K2. K2, so if you just take vitamin D, high levels of vitamin D can actually cause calcification in the arteries. And K2 will actually decalcify the arteries. So if you take vitamin D, you got to take vitamin K2. So I take both of those. I take one Brazil nut. And a Brazil nut is like, well, that's a food. That's not a supplement. Well, I take it as a supplement because one Brazil nut will fulfill your requirements for selenium that whole day. Just one. Wow. Just one Brazil nut. So if you want to be healthy, and now there is a very, very, very tiny amount of people in the world that are allergic to, obviously, to nuts, and even tinier, I think, to Brazil nuts. And they can actually go into like shock if they touch a Brazil nut or something like that. So you want to make sure everything I'm saying, you actually look into and make sure you're not allergic to some of these things. But for the majority of people, the Brazil nut is a super healthy food. If I'm working out and I try to start my day with a workout, I might take some citrulline, some fenugreek, some cinnamon in a glass, and with some beet juice. I don't do the pre-workouts. I kind of make my own. The pre-workouts that people buy can be quite dangerous. If you look at the back of on the nutrition labels, you don't know what's going on. So I prefer to just get the ingredients myself and take them. So I do the citrulline. I drink the beet juice. These are great. If you really want to have a great workout that day, look into those because, I mean, they'll give you so much energy and power. Now, you haven't heard me say coffee. I don't drink coffee. Now, I'm not against anybody drinking coffee. For me, I never got into it. My family didn't drink coffee. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. Dr. Amen, who I don't agree with everything that he says, but I think he says some things about coffee and the brain. It might not be the healthiest for our brains. But there's also studies that say that coffee can, you know, increase your lifespan. So, and some people, like I know people that love the process of making coffee. They get up just for that, the process of brewing themselves a coffee. So if you like to do it, do the research, see how you feel with it and without it, and go from there. My cup of coffee is I actually jump on a trampoline. So after I do my supplements, I also take Shilajit as well. So Shilajit is like a black tar. It's the most disgusting thing you could ever take. But if you want energy, it raises testosterone level. It's amazing. It's found in the Himalayan mountains. A lot of the monkeys up there, they love this stuff. And people started taking it. And I think it translates to like destroyer or something like that, like the word Shilajit.
How do you spell that? I'm curious.
Destroyer of weakness is actually what Shilajit. Shilajit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got like hundreds of minerals in it. It's a powerful supplement. My cup of coffee is, you know, I jump on a trampoline. So I love the rebounder. I love the rebounder in the morning. 5-10 minutes on that. Man, I'm ready to go. I'm either ready to work out or ready to work. That, you know, stimulates my lymphatic system, gives me so much energy, and it reminds me of jumping on a bed as a kid, which just makes you happy.
Right.
So you got to do the things that make you happy, that are kind of ingrained in your brain already. And yeah, that's pretty much my morning routine. I think there might be a few things, but for me, also while I'm doing all of that, here's the through line. I'm listening to some affirmations. listening to some affirmations, right? So I'm not letting my mind wander off on, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. Nope. Not letting it happen. I'm literally programming myself to have the best day ever. That's what my friend Doug Evans, he says, have the best day ever. And that's it.
So I'm curious, you're a busy guy. You're traveling a lot, you know, speaking, doing all kinds of different stuff. When you travel, are there any of your routine that you sacrifice or that you give up? I mean, obviously jumping on trampoline seems tough, or do you find other ways around it? Or,
well, like I said, I take my sound machine. A lot of these things, 90% is non-negotiable when it comes to the morning routine, because it starts the day. Like if you don't start the day well, you're just putting yourself in a bad position to finish the day well. So a lot of these things are just, you just got to do it. And they literally take a few minutes. I mean, there might be some days I don't have my supplements, right? Or I can't go for, well, maybe it's poor, even if it's pouring outside, I still might go for a walk. But sometimes, you know, I don't go for a walk, and that's okay. The main thing is, I think you want to be forgiving of yourself. You don't want to be a prisoner to your routine. You want to always be in control, because the mind is very powerful. And sometimes you can convince yourself, oh man, I ran out of vitamin K2. I'm not gonna have a great day. No, that's not true. Your body is already healthy. Your body can already give you the energy and the health that you need to have a good day without some of these supplements. To read things, right? These are supplements, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're doing great things, if you're eating a good diet, if you're getting that sleep, then you might not need some of these supplements. You got to figure out what works for you, what fits your puzzle. But to answer your question, you know, I don't have a trampoline when I travel. I wish I could have a rebounder. If the room that, if I'm in an Airbnb, like I've literally done this, I've bought, I don't know why I'm saying, I've never told anybody this, but if the room just doesn't have like blackout curtains and I need them for that day, I'll just use plastic bags. I'll just tape plastic bags to the windows, and that'll help, you know, double, like two plastic bags to the window, and it's blacked out.
Okay. Yeah, I've known people who've used aluminum foil as well.
Is a good okay.
way to black out too. Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. I never heard of that. That's interesting. I guess that'll block out like the frequencies from the government too. Like when they're control frequency.
One thing that can be tough, someone like me, I have ADHD. So it can be hard for me to like build a habit to do the same thing every day, or habits just kind of fall away quicker for people with ADHD. Like, do you have any suggestions on developing habits or helping stick to them or things like that?
The number one way to develop a habit is through a process called Kaizen. So Kaizen is a Japanese word. It translates to small continuous improvement. So there's an old saying, by the yard it's hard, by the inch it's a cinch. So if you have ADHD, if you have a hard time sticking to a routine or a habit, that might be because you have created too big of a goal. You've got to chop that down into almost seemingly insignificant pieces, right? So if you want the habit, for instance, of cleaner teeth, right? Okay, how do you get cleaner teeth? Well, brush and floss, all right? I don't floss, right? Say somebody's saying I don't floss. It's just too hard to floss. All right, well, just set yourself up the goal of flossing one tooth every day. Just one tooth before you go to bed. Just one tooth. And what will you have in 30 days? Besides one clean tooth, you will have the habit of picking up the string. So what you've got to do is you've got to set these small little goals. Put the finish line very, very close. If you want the habit of going to the gym, but it's too much of a struggle to go to the gym, just put on your shoes. Don't even go to the gym. Just get into the habit of every day just putting on your gym shoes, right? That's it. Or your gym clothes. You gotta make the habit something that you can do in 1 minute or less in order to stick to it. If you want to read more, if you want the habit of reading more, just read one page a day. If one page is too much, just read one paragraph a day, right? If you want to meditate, don't do an hour meditation. Do 1 minute of meditation. Just do one breath a day. This is neuroscience. The more you do these small actions, what you're doing is you're rewiring the neural connections in your brain so that you can become the person who does the habits. So it's not about the habits themselves. It's about becoming the person that does that. When you can train your brain, the actions will happen automatically. And so just these small steps, just chipping away. I've got a whole ebook on this. You go to lifeuniversity.com on the process of Kaizen. But Kaizen is something that a lot of entrepreneurs have used. Steve Jobs, a lot of organizations have used it. It's just a super powerful and easy way to accomplishing your goals and really reinforcing and building up habits. Another way that because I like to make everything easy. My anthropology background, I think it gives me an advantage to a lot of other people in the personal growth and development space, while it allows me to see the human being as an animal. Look at the human species. We're an animal. And when you look at our brains, you know that over 80%, probably 90% of our brains are devoted to visual processes. Okay, so how do we use this to our advantage? Well, advertisers are already using it against our will. It is no coincidence that when you go into a store, you see the items that they want you to buy on the shelf at eye level, and they put the items that they don't want you to buy near the ground. This is the real estate. So you have to use these techniques in your own house, right? You pay or in your car, you pay a mortgage, you're paying for your house. Using these techniques by putting signs and triggers will eventually help have your house pay you, if that makes sense. It'll essentially turn you into the person that you really want to be. This is what I call architecting your environment. So if you walk around my house, you'll see signs that random signs everywhere. On my refrigerator, on my wall, in my bedroom. I told you the sign, the top of my ceiling, smile. A lot of the signs are questions. See, the brain loves questions. And the question that I have all around my house is, what would my highest, most developed self do right now? Ooh, okay, well, they probably wouldn't eat that cookie. They probably would go to the gym. They probably would meditate. They probably would call, a loved one to express gratitude. My highest, most developed self. And so when you see these signs around your house, eventually they will turn you into your highest, most developed self. So these are triggers, or I call anchors, that you can use to architect your environment and curate your space in a way that will turn you into the best person you can be. I mean, this is an easy but powerful step that everybody should be doing. Even your car, right? You need a sticker in your car that says, take 3 breaths. So that if you ever find yourself getting roll rage, you see that sign. It says, take 3 breaths. These signs, they help. They help, Dustin. They help. They're super powerful. If I think our world is so... it's so hard. It's so negative. We have to take steps, as many steps as we can. We have to use as many devices and vehicles and practices as we can to keep a positive mindset. Signs is, I think, the most powerful.
What would you suggest as like some people's first signs, some things that you think might be important for people?
I think one sign could be, what 3 things am I grateful for right now? Ooh. You see that sign? Yeah. What 3 things am I grateful for right now? Here's another one. If I could feel anything right now, what would I feel? Ooh. And my favorite is, what will my highest and best self, best, most developed self do right now? Those 3, that's it. That's it. Wow. I mean, you find out what works for you. You find out what works for you. Questions. I think the brain is specifically attuned to answering questions. I think it was Thomas Edison who said, never go to sleep without asking a question of your subconscious mind. See, when you ask these questions, you find the answer. So when you ask the question of, what will my highest and best self do right now, you eventually find the answer. But if you find yourself, you don't have these signs, what questions are you asking yourself? Oh man, why am I such a failure? Oh man, why don't I have more money in my account? And then your brain will say, oh, because, in sixth grade, you tripped at graduation, you got rejected by Susie at the prom. You got to ask the right questions. You got to frame them in a positive way.
Do you have any routines that maybe in the past weren't serving you or maybe even were harming you? And what ways can people kind of overcome those sorts of, like, I guess you could call them bad habits?
A bad habit I used to have was watching movies in bed on my laptop. Or I just think the bedroom, by and large, should be used for sleep. And if you're not using it for sleep, you've got to really put yourself in a position where this is the purpose of this room, right? I know some people that they don't even allow light to enter their bedroom. It's literally a cave. They only sleep in it. They only sleep in it. I haven't gotten that far. Sometimes I find myself having creative writing sessions in my bed. Another bad habit that I used to have, or maybe still have, I think not looking at my phone in the morning. I think that's a big one. And sometimes I can still fall victim to it. I'd like to leave my phone in another room, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. And sometimes I might pick it up and look at it first thing in the morning. This happens rarely, but I think most people, they do this. They look at the phone and get that artificial surge of blue light into their eyes in the morning, which is just setting them up for failure. That's one habit.
When you said the blue light sets them up for failure, like, can you explain what you mean by that more?
So I think it's not just the blue light, but it's also the things that we scroll online. You know, when we pick up the phone, we are putting ourselves in a reactionary position. We're reacting. You win the morning, you conquer the day. You gotta win the morning. When you pick up your phone, you're reacting to the morning. You're not in control anymore. You're reacting to messages, to emails, to the news. You're not in control of your morning anymore. You've got to really set, this has to be sacred time. I say 30 minutes to an hour of sacred time without reacting to the world, to this crazy world, because that's what it is. That's what all of these, I mean, these platforms, the news, I mean, they put you in a negative vibration. Right. And the blue light shining in your face, I don't think that's healthy. I don't think it's healthy for the eye. In fact, I feel like Huberman has cited a few studies on blue light from the phone as opposed to getting natural blue light from the sun. It's different. So that's what I mean by that. And I think that, you know, when you wake up, you're answering text messages. You just can't do that. You got to really start your day in a place of control. Right. Setting the tone. You got to set the tone of the day and don't let the tone of the day set you.
What steps can people take to sort of break these habits? I think you touched on things that obviously we all relate to, you know, laying in bed, watching movies, screen on, first thing, checking your phone. It can be so hard to, especially checking the phone in the morning. It's like, what did I miss? What email came through? Does somebody need me? Like, how do you break that mindset?
Yeah. Ooh, that's well said. Break that mindset, right? I think it's mindfulness. That's what breaks the mind, or mind awareness. The first thing you reach for has to be that journal. It's got to be the journal. It's got to be the gratitude. It's got to be the thank you. That's powerful. We overestimate the strength of willpower. You got to create non-negotiables in your life. You got to create your environment so that these habits are easy. You got to sleep with your phone outside the room, then you won't pick it up. You got to make the habits that you want easy and the bad habits difficult. One way to break a bad habit, I read this in a book called Outsmarting Yourself years ago, and it's great. I mean, it really works. Like, if you find yourself about to do some bad habit, you say it out loud. You don't have to even change the habit. You just narrate it. It's so cool because it works. Like, if you're about to, if you have a habit of smoking, pick up a cigarette, you have to literally say, I am about to smoke this cigarette, and then you won't do it. You narrate it. But it's so interesting because
you got that awareness. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of these habits, they're autopilot. Wow. So there's so many jewels. There's so many ways to get to the life that I think we really want. And it starts with understanding how we work, how the mind works, and understanding that we are more powerful than our minds. That's it. And that's why meditative practice in the morning is also great. I know some people, like, I know Tom Bilyeu, I saw a video of him. He says, I'm obsessed with meditation. Now, I don't know if I go that far, say I'm obsessed with meditation, but I think meditation is a place that we all can get to, and it's home. You can call it a practice, but really it's a place. It's a place of gentle awareness that you can carry off of the yoga mat into the world. That's what its purpose is for, right? Meditation isn't just for, you know, you sit in lotus posture and you think you're going to get enlightened or you think you're going to make more money at your job. No, the purpose of meditation is to come back to a space of awareness of who and what you are truly beyond this body mind. And when you have that deep understanding, not just intellectual understanding, that's when life changes. That's when you become your best, highest, most developed self.
Wow. Well, I think that's a great note to end on.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening to Sauna Sessions. Don't forget to rate this episode, subscribe to the episode. We're going to keep heating it up, and we really appreciate you guys listening. So stay tuned next week for the next episode, Sauna Sessions.